Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hello, everybody. We begin today with Congressman Elliot Engel on how to break the deadlock in the Syrian negotiations. The U.S. says military force must be a threat to get Syria to really turn over its chemical weapons. Russia says the military options must be off the table. Congressman Engel represents Southern Westchester and the Northern Bronx, and he is the top Democrat on the House Foreign Relations Committee. Congressman Engel, thanks for doing this. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
First, you were a major hawk on military action against Syria when it was first referred to Congress. What do you think of President Obama's decision to delay any action now that Syria has said it would turn over its chemical weapons?
Well, I support the president in what he's doing. I think we have to try to find a diplomatic way if we can. I think we need to explore it. And if we can, it's much better than anything else. But I think, obviously, we have to be careful that we're not being played, that this is not just being done for a delay in time. There's already reports that Assad is dispersing his chemical weapons around the country. So I think that we'll know in a week or so whether or not they're serious about this. I hope they are, because a diplomatic solution is certainly preferable to anything else.
I mentioned the sticking point in the negotiations that seems to be the main thing stalling things right now, and we talked about this a lot on yesterday's show with some other people. The U.S. says military force must be a threat to get Syria to really turn over its chemical weapons. Russia says the military options must be off the table. Is there a way to resolve this, in your opinion?
Well, I think the president emphasized in his speech the other night, and I really agree with him, that it's the credible use or threat of U.S. military might is what really got Assad and Putin to move, if indeed they've moved, and this isn't just a shell game. I don't know how this can be off the table, because this is our leverage, frankly, and I think if they're going to cooperate, then that leverage has to be there. You know, the Russians don't have clean hands in this. They've been notoriously bad players for months and months and months. They've blocked everything in the UN Security Council with the threat of a veto. And even when we behind the scenes tried to get the Security Council to consider a resolution, not mentioning Assad, not mentioning Syria, just talking about using chemical weapons, being against using chemical weapons, the Russians blocked even an innocuous resolution like that. So it's hard to say if this is the real deal now. Again, I hope it is, and we need to explore it.
And listeners, if you want to talk to Congressman Engel about this now, you can at 212-433-WNYC. We're also going to get into the other looming crisis, as Congress is going to get back to domestic issues here, with a government shutdown actually possible, considering the politics of the budget at the moment, by the end of this month, September 30th, October 1st. So we'll get into that with Congressman Engel, and we can take your calls on that. Republicans holding out at least a delay for a year in Obamacare in order to move a budget forward, apparently. And so you can call on that. You can call on Syria, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for Congressman Elliot Engel, Democrat from the Northern Bronx, Riverdale, over to Co-op City, like around there in southern Westchester, Scarsdale, Rye, Hastings, that whole stretch, 212-433-9692. Congressman, Secretary Kerry has been thundering that military action remains an option. But isn't there a way to resolve this while letting both the U.S. and Russia save face? If Russia is saying yes without military action on the table, is there a way to take yes for an answer without also shouting from the rooftops that we'll bomb Syria if they don't follow through?
Well, I hope so. I think Secretary Kerry, by the way, I think he's doing a fantastic job. I think he has to say what he's saying, because we have to keep the pressure on. But I think everybody is hoping that this is real and that we can have some kind of an agreement. I mean, it's a plus that yesterday Syria applied to join the Chemical Weapons Convention, and we'll see. But the problem, of course, is do you want to bet the house on Putin and Assad? They're both not very reliable players.
Right.
They both have a past that would not lead you to believe that they are good players, but we need to try. I think this is a crisis. Frankly, I hope we can get out of it, and perhaps they're looking to get out of it. So if everyone's looking to get out of it, a diplomatic solution is the best bet. But I do think that the military threat has to be there, or else I don't believe that Assad and Russia would move. I mean, as Kerry has said many, many times, the goal here, besides punishing Assad for using these horrific chemical weapons, watching those poor children foaming at the mouth and thrashing around and dying is something that I'll never forget, that he needs to be punished for that so that he will never do that again. But also, we need to make sure, let's remember this, that Assad was losing the civil war. And then with the introduction of Hezbollah troops, he started to gain the upper hand. The real goal is to have a conference and to talk about a post-Assad Syria, and Russia and the United States supposedly months ago were going to be the pillars of that conference. If we can get back to that, that's certainly something I think that's the goal of the U.S., because I just don't think we are interested. I'm not interested in getting involved in a civil war, but if we can talk about a post-Assad Syria and get it to the point where the Russians can agree, we can also perhaps do this diplomatically as well.
Congressman Elliot Engel, the ranking Democrat on the House Foreign Relations Committee. I'm going to press this one more step, and I'm going to play a clip of Kerry from yesterday and ask if we risk crashing the negotiations because Secretary Kerry is being too bellicose and seeming to rub Russia's face in it. When he and Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov made their joint appearance yesterday afternoon after their first day of talks in Geneva, here is 30 seconds of how Kerry sounded.
Only the credible threat of force and the intervention of President Putin and Russia based on that has brought the Assad regime to acknowledge for the first time that it even has chemical weapons and an arsenal and that it is now prepared to relinquish it. President Obama has made clear that should diplomacy fail, force might be necessary to deter and degrade Assad's capacity to deliver these weapons. It won't get rid of them, but it could change his willingness to use them.
To which Lavrov replied, "Oh, well, I didn't prepare a whole big political speech, and I thought diplomacy requires silence."
Well, he didn't do his whole political speech, but Mr. Putin did it yesterday in the New York Times with what I thought was a preposterous essay. You would think that he was a great person who believed in democracy reading that. So I think every side is posturing and every side is trying to take advantage in their position. I do think what Kerry said is true. I do think the credible threat of U.S. force is perhaps what brought them to the table. And I say perhaps because we really don't know what's in their minds.
In that Putin op-ed, he claims the rebels are the ones who use chemical weapons because they wanted exactly what they got from American leaders, which was to get serious about coming in on their side militarily. Is that not plausible based on the intelligence you've seen?
Not only is it not plausible, it's absolutely ridiculous. There's no doubt in my mind that I've seen all the intelligence, and so has every other member of Congress. I think there's no doubt in anybody's mind that the gas was used by Assad, and it was ordered by Assad, and that it was used on rebels or in rebel strongholds, and there are all kinds of evidence showing movements beforehand and afterwards. And, you know, when they say things like that, that's one of the things that Putin wrote in his essay that really makes you say, you know, that this guy is just, you know, pulling my chain because he's not doing what he's saying is such a lie, then how can you believe anything else he says?
The Russia expert Stephen Cohen was on this program yesterday, and he proposed in a Nation magazine article that we have the UN hold an open hearing on who used the chemical weapons. Then the evidence, presumably against Assad in proving that case, will emerge, and then the U.S. will be on stronger moral and credibility grounds. Good idea?
Well, sure. I think it's a good idea. Look, I don't understand what the UN mandate was and why it was that way. I mean, I don't think there's anybody today who would doubt that chemical weapons were used. I mean, it's just it seems so ridiculous to me that you have all these UN inspectors going in there trying to figure out whether or not gas was used.
Right, but were used doesn't seem to be a question,
right,
as you say. But there is this dispute, at least publicly, between Russia and Syria on the one side and everybody else on the other side about who used them. And maybe it would help to put more evidence on the table publicly than the U.S. government has put so far.
Well, I think that might be a good idea. I certainly wouldn't oppose it because I've seen all the evidence, and I'm convinced. I'm 100% convinced that it was used by Assad. So I think that might be a good idea.
Let's take a phone call. Hi, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling. Forgive me, I don't see your name on my screen. But who's this? Do I have you? Right, that's not going to work. Wendy in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Wendy.
Yes, hello, good morning. How are you?
Okay.
I have a couple of issues here. The first is that there is no way that your guest has seen all the evidence unless he has recently been on the ground in Syria. So when we get the American Congress talking about having seen all the evidence, they've seen all the evidence that American handlers want them to see so that they come up with the decision that this nation obviously wants, which is more war. But my main question, and from the heart, especially on this particular day, is why do we rush to war instead of rushing to peace? If nothing else, Putin exposed the warlike nature of this country by saying, hey, could we talk about peace before we kill more children and women?
Wendy, do you think that President Obama actually wants more war as opposed to want to avoid getting into Syria as he's been apparently trying to avoid for 2 years?
If Obama wanted peace, he would have sought peace. We have role models for leaders who seek peace first, many of them in the world, and they have put their lives on the line for that. In many nations, they seek peace first. We have a Gandhi. We have a South African Mandela. We have role models few and far between in this country.
And what would that look like for you after the gassing of these 1,400 people? Assuming you believe the videos.
Well, first of all, the numbers of people gassed are in doubt. There's intelligence coming still out, but coming from all over the world. I'm fluent in Arabic and Persian. So there are news media out there, and there are reports from credible people that are on the ground. We still have to wait. The rush to war was ridiculous. But again, the question is, what is it about our nation, about our leaders now, where a shoe drops and we bomb people?
Wendy, thank you. And Congressman Engel, do you want to respond to her?
Well, I disagree, and I don't think a shoe drops when 1,400 people are gassed, when children are gassed. I think that Assad has committed atrocities. I think that he is Iran's surrogate in his own country. I think that he's relying on Hezbollah, which is a terrorist organization, to prop him up.
But to her point on one thing, the resolution, which I read, that passed the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, stated that military action would be taken when all other options had been exhausted. And the assumption of the resolution is that we have reached that moment already. But I've heard people suggest all kinds of things that could come before military option, even if we accept 1,400 and that it was Assad. Things like indicting him at the International Criminal Court, bringing other kinds of economic pressure that are on him today already, even some kind of official warning from the United Nations that if such a thing were to ever happen again, that something would be done. I know President Obama drew a red line, but he's the American president. He's not the UN. So have you exhausted all the options prior to military action that would actually, you know, satisfy the wording of the resolution from the Senate?
Well, I think that that's up in the air. Everybody has a different opinion about that, and the Senate resolution is not necessarily the final resolution. So I think that's really still up in the air. But I want to speak to a point that you were making with the caller, and that is, I believe there's nobody who was looking for peace more than Barack Obama. He has tried for over a year to try to stay out of the conflict. It is U.S. policy to have a post-Assad Syria, because we do believe that Assad has been a brutal thug with gassing people, and even before that has done some really horrific things. And he has tried. Now, if we are going to say that we don't believe anything that our intelligence shows us, you know, that then the caller is right, if we come from that perspective. But I happen to believe that they're showing us things that are real, and I'm certainly convinced, and I think virtually every other member of Congress is convinced. I think the fact that the president came to the Congress and asked for a resolution shows that he's not a warmonger, and he doesn't really want to go to war.
Matt?
The fact that we are negotiating now with the Russians shows that we're looking for a diplomatic solution. But there comes a point where you just have to say, well, are we going to just turn our heads and allow these children to be gassed and allow these weapons to be used with impunity? I don't think so.
Matt in Hopatcong, you're on WNYC with Congressman Elliot Engel. Hi, Matt.
How are you doing, gentlemen? Happy Friday.
You too.
Thank you.
I had actually a two-part question. The first part was, if and when a resolution can be made, how long should we negotiate for? And second of all, when and if a resolution is done, how long should we give the Assad regime to hand over the chemical weapons?
Well, I think those are two good questions, but they're difficult to ask to answer. I think that we will get a feel, certainly, and I'm not part of the negotiating team, so I'm not there. But we will certainly get a feel, I feel, in a few days or certainly a couple of weeks, whether or not this diplomatic attempt is bearing fruit, or whether this is just a delay and a stalling tactic on the part of the Russians and the Syrians. I think we'll get that feel. And then if there is an agreement, and I hope there is, then the whole thing of finding out where these weapons are located and securing them, and that's likely to take years and years and years. I'm not an expert on that and what needs to be done with that.
So it's going to be specific steps at specific times.
Yes.
But then is this our immediate future? Every 2 weeks now we'll go to the brink of a war vote because Syria waits till the last minute to take the next demanded step?
Well, I hope not. I mean, I hope once there's an international agreement, there'll be pressure on everyone to be a good player in this, and hopefully the Russians will force the Syrians to do it too. You know, there are things in here for the Russians. I mean, the Russians, I hope, are not looking to go back to the Cold War with the United States. And perhaps this can be the start of a better working relationship between our two countries. I mean, it may be pie in the sky, but I think it's something that we need to try. I mean, even in the throes of the Cold War, there were things that our countries did behind the scenes, and hopefully we can do more things on a positive side after this than on a negative side.
Congressman Elliot Engel from Westchester in the Bronx. Before you go, there is this other crisis brewing in Congress, as you well know. You may face a government shutdown at the end of this month if Congress can't agree on a budget. Then there's another debt ceiling being reached just a few weeks later into October. And all the Republican proposals that are on the table seem to include at least delaying Obamacare for a year. Where does that stand? And as you see it, what's the way out?
Well, there's no way we're going to delay Obamacare for a year or at all. They ought to get over it. Obamacare was passed, or the Affordable Health Care Act, as I like to say, was passed by the Congress. It was affirmed by the Supreme Court. There was a presidential election where the president won re-election. That was a large issue, the health care reform in that election, and he won. So my Republican colleagues should really just get over it and stop the nonsense. Yesterday, we had for the 41st time, we had the repeal of the Affordable Health Care Act on the Congress floor, on the House floor, and that's just ridiculous. And as far as the government shutdown, it's absolutely irresponsible. The United States we've had a government shutdown before in the 1990s, and everyone realized that it was Newt Gingrich and the Republicans' fault at the time. And in terms of us not paying our debt, our bills, the full faith and credit of the United States has never exploded. We've always paid our bills from the start of the Republic till now. And that's not talking about new money. That's just paying for what we've already incurred. So I just think that they're playing with fire. It's irresponsible. And the president has rightly said that he will not negotiate on paying our bills.
They have the majority in the House, and obviously you need both houses of Congress as well as the White House to agree on a budget. So how do you get out of this?
Well, you get out, or normally you get out, you sit down, and there's give and take on both sides. But there actually are people on the Republican side whose goal is to shut the government down and whose goal is for the United States not to pay its bills. And so I think that the Republican leadership has some decisions to make in terms of what they do. I don't envy John Boehner, I must tell you. I think he's got a tiger by the tail, and he knows it. It is just absolutely irresponsible, and I hope the American public understands that and sees which party is being responsible and which party isn't. I think Obama and the Democrats certainly are being responsible, and the president is right to say he will not negotiate over the United States not paying its bills.
Well, Congressman Elliot Engel, Democrat from the Northern Bronx and Southern Westchester, and the ranking Democrat on the Foreign Relations Committee in the House, let's hope for a peaceful resolution in the Middle East and a peaceful budget resolution, an actual budget resolution by the end of September. Thank you very much for giving
us this time, Brian.
Today.
Thank you, Brian.
Still to come on the Brian Lehrer Show today, former FDIC chair Sheila Bair next on the fifth anniversary of the Lehman Brothers collapse. Have we learned the right lessons? New York Times correspondent Jody Cantor on the massive class of 13 gender experiment at the Harvard Business School. Did you read her long article on that? And she has a thought about gender in the Quinn campaign. Plus the new revelations that many more thousands of votes from Tuesday's mayoral primary remain uncounted than we thought there were. Your calls on the Seaside Heights fire, and Michelle Obama's new campaign to get kids to drink more water. Is America underquenched? All coming up. Stay with us.